Hi, I'm Randy, and I will be your host for my 78th episode of Infotainment. I'm your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. This is a last stop podcast shop on your internet dial. So let's stop, drop, and roll right into the program. I'd like to talk about Worthington, Minnesota drivers. You know, I have to walk around a lot these days, and standing at an intersection where there is a crosswalk, the person driving from the left should not pull directly in the middle of the crosswalk. You're supposed to yield to pedestrians. Kind of a major deal. You should park. You should brake before you hit the crosswalk. And also, when a person is walking through the crosswalk, you should not speed up and try to get around them. Went through those experiences the other day. I thought, I used to think Minnesota had fairly decent drivers, but I don't anymore. People up in the cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, probably would agree that we don't have very good drivers. They say up there that they don't know how to merge. But I know everybody thinks they're a great driver, but a lot of us are not. But hopefully people will take this start and start driving a little more cautiously when there are pedestrians around. It would be nice. You wouldn't want a fatality on your hands running somebody over in the crosswalk. And also going to be taking a trip at the end of the month, going out to Denver, Colorado, just because I want a little change of scenery from the flat ground I live on here. All the scenery of cornfields and bean fields. God bless the farmers, but at some point you need a little change of scenery. So this might be my last podcast before my trip. And hopefully it'll be a good one. And I won't go through some of the experiences I spoke about on my last podcast about wild road trip adventures where people have driven cars like 10 miles with their car on fire. Maybe if the dash was on fire, they could have broke out some hot dogs and made some s'mores before they escaped the vehicle. I don't know. They didn't say whether they survived or the car exploded, but hopefully not. Well, Zira, I think it's time to move on to another area of conversation for our listening audience. Oh, I'd like to thank my new listeners in the country of Chile and my listeners in Brazil from Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. So welcome to the program. And also my listener or listeners in the Westminster area of London who stuck with the program for a long time. Thank you very much. But before I move on to another topic, I do have another road incident. This is not a town of 500 people. It's like a town of 13,000 or so. And when you pull up to somebody that you know and you want to talk with them in a town of like 500, you can do that on the main street. And I've seen people do that and with like no regards to traffic or whatever. But in this town, one person knew the other and he pulled up right behind him, totally blocking the crosswalk. And they could see I was ready to walk through there. And so I had to walk behind the vehicle and people are just in their own little world and do not respect the rules of the road.
Okay, Randy, it's time to get off your high horse and move on to another topic.
Okay, Zira, at 105 years old, this next story should rev up your ticker. How one sex toy effed up an entire airport. Airport security somehow mistook it for a bomb. With all the scary shit that happens, when you're flying, engines exploding, overhead bins bursting into flames. I never heard that story. I should look into that. Brawls erupting in a terminal. People masturbating. TSA really can't be too careful when it comes to making sure we stay safe aboard those flying metal tubes. But on Tuesday, airport security in Berlin was maybe a little too cautious in somehow mistaking a harmless sex toy for a potential explosive. According to RT, agents at Berlin's Schönefeld Airport detected a suspicious item that set off a red flag during an X-ray scan and wound up shutting down a whole terminal, forcing travelers to evacuate and grounding a handful of flights. Man, this woman had to be so embarrassed. Oh my God. After the cops tracked down the passenger who owned the would-be bomb, they swarmed him with with automatic weapons and demanded to know what was in his bag. Apparently a little embarrassed that a bunch of guys with guns had potentially found his sex toy, the man said he'd put some technical stuff in there, CNN reports. Then he sat back and watched while someone from the bomb squad cautiously approached his luggage. I wonder if they tried it out or how they proved it was just a sex toy. After 60 tense minutes, the member of the bomb squad returned laughing. The passenger told RT the hand grenade was in fact a vibrator from Ann Summers. That my girlfriend and I had purchased 2 weeks previous. You have to wonder exactly how high-tech the dude's sex toy had to be to trigger an all-out security crisis. Heaven forbid they would have the Itachi magic wand, that huge thing. That would probably set off alarms, too. Was this just your standard vibrator or something more intense? A foot-long magic wand, perhaps, or maybe this weird leaf blower-looking thing. Then again, maybe it doesn't take all that much for a sex toy to be considered a suspicious item. They've already caused bomb scares in Thailand, Sudan, Australia, and beyond. Aside from suffering through the embarrassment of having a bunch of cops laugh at his dildo, the passenger wound up missing his flight, so you know, great job, airport security. If you're allowed to put camping stoves, giant lobsters, axes, guns, and rainbow flame crystals in your checked luggage without a problem, you should damn well be able to pack a vibrator without being labeled as suspected terrorists. Yeah, it's pretty. And you're looking at it, it's purple. Yeah, it looks like it's sitting in its own charging stand. No, that, I guess, is the, maybe that's just the base. Looking at it, I don't know. It's got a wire attached to it, so we'll end it there, I guess. But it looks pretty menacing. Hopefully it was worth the experience of better than getting stopped with it for portraying it as a bomb. Well, it is time to move on to another topic for your podcast perusal. A couple of podcasts ago, I said I might set up a Tinder profile. Well, I've done that. And since I am looking for a woman, I would like to offer some advice on your profile pictures. Do not use a picture that is blurry. I've seen that. Do not use a picture where there's another guy in the photo that is obviously not an ex-boyfriend or a current boyfriend. Or a guy who is half chopped off on the picture. Now here's a big one that I've seen more than once. is where there's like three women in the photo and there's only one person looking for a date on Tinder, and they're all approximately the same age, and you're left guessing, well, which woman is the one that is looking for a date. Also, another big one is do not use a profile picture of a pet, a cat or a dog. I've seen that. And also, it is also okay to smile during your profile pic that you have posted for Tinder and not have a scowl on your face like you're ready to kick the old beanbag of the next guy who approaches your path. That's just some of the things I've noticed in the profile pics of women, and I suppose some guys make the same errors in their profile pics. And the first woman that showed up on my like screen asked me how many languages I spoke, and I said just English, and that was it for that. For those of you who have the True TV network, there is a show called Adam Ruins Everything. The guy with, maybe you've seen it, when they're not showing that other show, Impractical Jokers, which I show 98% of the time. Yeah, Adam Ruins Everything. The guy with the ridiculous hairdo. But the other night he did talk about an interesting topic. He talked about internet dating services. Specifically, he talked about eHarmony and how that it was total BS about how people actually meet and stuff. They were not allowing people to look at their algorithm and how they match people and their, 29 dimensions of compatibility. Dr. Warren Clark, or E. Warren Clark, or I forget the guy's name, but he's the older grandfather-looking talking head for eHarmony. And his background wasn't even much related to what he was doing, but I guess they were forced. At one time, eHarmony said they had the most marriages of any online dating service, and I guess they were forced not to put that up anymore. So he debunked that dating service that most people, you know, you can go into a crowded room and say, how many of you like movies? And everybody raised their hands. Well, I do too. I'm going to date all of you. And it just doesn't really work that way. He didn't talk about Match.com. I've kind of heard that on Tinder, maybe it is just a hookup site for an FB romance for a night or two nights or whatever. But if people get serious, then they go to Match or eHarmony or whatever. There's also one called Christian Mingle. And I was told by a relative to try Bumble. That's where the woman actually makes the first approach. And maybe I'll do that someday. It was kind of discouraging. You'd like to think one of these things actually works. Maybe Match does have the most marriages. I'm not sure. I don't know if they have actual stats on that or not. But he said eHarmony and how they calculate your dimensions of compatibility do not really reflect on how people actually really get together. So don't waste your time on their survey. But maybe some people have similar tastes. Maybe that's all it takes to find romance. So I'm not totally discounting that there have been marriages out of eHarmony. And what I've noticed is that over the years, watching celebrities and all this other stuff, and then people that I know, is that some people tend to pick a mate that actually looks like they could be their brother or sister. I'll give you an example of that. Valerie Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen. Yeah, that's going a ways back, but they look like they could have been brother and sister. You look at Randy Gerber and Cindy Crawford. They look like they could have been brother and sister. And it's kind of weird. Who else? So, I don't know which dating service is the best. I'd like to hear some stories if you'd like to email me at randyms12@gmail.com. Interesting to know your dating horrors from internet dating services. Now let's move on to another topic for your podcast perusal. And we are going to talk about San Francisco. San Francisco has formed a poop patrol to deal with the city's street turds. They'll be scouring the city for human waste starting next month. The city of San Francisco gets around 65 reports of human poop littering streets and alleys every day. But now it looks like the city has finally hatched a plan to do something about it. This week, the city announced that it has created a brand new poop patrol to begin scouring San Francisco for turds. The San Francisco Chronicle reports. Starting next month, a supervisor and 5-person crew of public works employees will start patrolling the city with a steam cleaner every afternoon, hoping to proactively find and dispose of the human waste before someone accidentally steps in it or whatever. If the pilot program is successful, the city is expected to expand it in the coming months. We're trying to be proactive, Public Works head Mohammed Nuru told the Chronicle. We're actually out there looking for it. I've heard the Castro and the Tenderloin district of San Francisco is not the greatest areas where you have a lot of crackheads down there. According to San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who came up with the idea alongside Nuru, the newly minted poop patrol will rely on data from past poop reports to target high-volume areas. We have data that shows where most of the complaints are for poop cleanup, Breed said in an interview with Fox 5. So the goal is to make sure we have a dedicated team and they are focusing on the particular areas where we know it's most problematic. As funny as the name may sound, it's a pretty serious attempt to fix the public poop problem plaguing the city. Unfortunately, a team of workers diligently spraying Dookie off of San Francisco's sidewalks doesn't exactly solve the underlying issue, the city's ongoing homeless epidemic. To give unhoused people in San Francisco access to more public bathrooms, the city is expected to expand its pit stop program, which installs public toilets around the city alongside the poop patrol. But as the Chronicle points out, the pit stop toilets are only open during the day, and the addition of a poop patrol doesn't quite solve the problem of where homeless people can go to the bathroom at night. We need our streets cleaned up, so I love that they're doing the poop patrol, Denise Sandoval, who helps supply showers and bathrooms to the city's homeless population, said in an interview with the Chronicle. But there's no doubt about the fact that we need more public bathrooms everywhere we can. We need to make them available. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe if you put up the blue things you see at festivals and stuff, the porta-potties. But that's kind of unsightly to see one of those, I suppose, on every street corner. But luckily this town doesn't have that problem, poop problem.
Okay, Randy, let's move on from the poop and move on to some other crap.
Okay, Zira, it is time to move on for another item up for bids for the showcase showdown. And let's move on. Excuse me while I take a sip of my Grain Belt Northeast. Goes down smooth. If there wasn't enough reasons for me not to want to fly, now we have airport employees stealing planes and going on a little joyride. And this is about that guy that stole a plane out west. Everything we want to know about Richard Russell, the man who stole and crashed a plane. The 29-year-old rambled about sweet nothings and doing barrel rolls to air traffic control before crashing the plane into an island in Washington. On Friday, 29-year-old Richard Russell, a ground employee at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, managed to sneak into an empty commercial aircraft and take it for an hour-long joyride that ended in a fatal fiery crash near the Puget Sound. Now, investigators are working to piece together how an airline employee responsible for baggage could steal and operate an aircraft, and what would drive someone to commit such a bizarre heist. According to CNBC, Russell had worked for Horizon Air for more than 3 years, de-icing, towing, and loading luggage onto planes, and had finished up his shift on Friday before stealing the 76-person passenger jet. After using a tractor to maneuver the plane, Russell, authorities say, didn't have a pilot's license or any formal training, taxied the plane onto the runway and just took off. Luckily, there was nobody else on board before his joyride ended in taking a dirt nap. Once in the air, he caught attention from onlookers in the area by pulling stunts like this, and there's a video of that. But I don't think I think I tried that and I couldn't watch it. But there are some maneuvers that were done that were incredible. Horizon Air CEO Gary Beck said at a press conference on Saturday, I don't know how he achieved the experience that he did. On Saturday, the Pierce County Sheriff's Department described Russell as suicidal, and authorities have since released audio of the conversation Russell had inside the cockpit. With air traffic controllers shedding a bit more light into what was going through his mind at the time. In the recording, Russell explains that he didn't want to hurt anyone, but rambles on about doing barrel rolls. Sweet nothings. I don't know exactly what they mean by that. Learning to fly from video games. Well, there's... imagine that. I wonder if you can get such a real experience with video games to do that. But getting possible prison time or a job as a pilot for the stunt. Seeing the orca that had been carrying her dead calf around. And hoping to glean a moment of serenity before taking the plane nose down to call it a night. Well, he called it a night, all right. I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. Russell says in the recording, I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose. Yeah, well, that looks like the case, and not on medication. Never really knew it until now. About an hour after he took off, Russell crashed the plane into a small island by the Puget Sound, where no one else was injured and no structures were destroyed. Along with those in-flight recordings, the FBI has since recovered the black box and human remains from the crash site. The incident raises terrifying security questions. Yeah, I'd say that raises some eyebrows about airport security with employees. An aviation expert writing for CNN said that it's shockingly easy for an airline employee to steal a plane. Almost all airplane personnel have access to airplanes themselves, and Russell was no exception. Airplane doors aren't typically locked, CNN reports, because you have to be a vetted employee with the proper security codes to even reach the door. They don't necessarily use a key, so there are switches that they use to start the aircraft. Deborah Ecrote, a chief of the Northwest Regional Office of the National Transportation Safety Board, said Saturday. So if the person has a basic understanding, from what I understand, he has support personnel, ground personnel. They probably do have at least a basic understanding on how to start the aircraft. According to the New York Times, the FBI in Seattle is now leading an investigation into exactly what happened on Friday, and will hopefully shed some light on how airports around the country can avoid a similar situation. One that, as Russell's flight proved, could put a lot of people in danger. Yeah, it's amazing, this guy. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, I guess, and knew how to avoid hitting a whole lot of people to die, which is a good thing. He just took himself out on the plane. We're going to be thorough, which means taking the time needed to scour the area, delve into the background of the individual believed responsible, and review every aspect of this incident with all appropriate public and private partners, the FBI said in a statement. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting ride. If you're going to go out, you ought to go out big. Go big or go home. Someone told me once, it's like driving a Harley or something compared to any other motorcycle. Well, why not steal a plane and just joyride for about an hour and take her into a nosedive? I wonder if he even knew how to put out the landing gear to try to land it. That would have been funny if he just brought it back. Oh, I was just taking her out for a spin, you know, test driving it. But there's another reason I don't want to fly. And I'm just glad that there were no other people on the plane and nobody else was hurt on the ground. Well, Zira, I think it's time to call Black Alert on this podcast and spore drive it to the interwebs. You can look at my Facebook page by Infotainment. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. Blogspot.com. Yeah, I don't go there as often as I should, but that's my blog for this program. My program is available on TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Podbean, Blueberry, and infotainmentpodcast.com. You can also tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. So we will say goodbye for now, and until next time, hopefully I will be able to regale you with great stories of my trip out west in my next podcast. Thank you very much. Be good to yourself and to everyone else. Bye-bye, folks.